You're listening to the Podcast Network. Listen, learn, evolve.
Hello, this is Patrick O'Keefe, and welcome to episode number 27 of the Community Admin Show on the Podcast Network. This will come as a bit of a surprise to you, and I apologize for that, but this will be the final episode of the Community Admin Show on the Podcast Network. After careful consideration on my part, I have resigned as a host on the Podcast Network. I resigned on Wednesday, 2 days before this show is going to be released. It was not an easy decision, but it was one that I felt I had to make. I sincerely appreciate the kindness and support that Cameron Riley at the Podcast Network has shown me during my time at TPN. And I sincerely appreciate the opportunity that I was given. I hope I have given something of value to the network, and I wish them all very well. I hope that I have given you, my listeners, something of value as well. It hasn't always been easy to come up with content, but I've done my best, and at the end of the day, I wanted to have at least one thing in every show that someone could relate to. Now, I know that didn't happen every time, but I hope and I believe that this show helped a bunch of people, and I'm definitely proud of that. This does not mean that I will stop podcasting, just that I will stop podcasting for the Podcast Network. I may start this show up again, or I may not. Cameron has been kind enough to give me the okay to republish previously released shows outside of the network and its branding and advertisements, and he was also kind enough to let me take the name of the show as well. I definitely appreciate this. I'm going to take a break from the show for a while and then see how I feel, and then we'll go from there. Again, thank you to Cameron and TPN, and thank you to everyone who listened and supported me and this show. So with that out of the way, what do I have for you today? Well, I want to end it strong, so I have a strong interview with my friend Jonathan Bailey of Plagiarism Today. That's at plagiarismtoday.com. It's a terrific blog about content theft and related issues. Before we get into the interview, I just wanted to issue the standard legal disclaimer that I'm sure nobody needs, which is that I am not a lawyer, Jonathan is not a lawyer. He's very knowledgeable, but he's not a lawyer. This isn't legal advice, I guess you could call it legal opinion. If you want legal advice, you go to qualified counsel. So please take the content of this interview in that light. Disclaimer aside, let's get started. Hello, Jonathan.
Hello.
Welcome to the Community Admin Show.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks for coming on.
It's a great honor to be here. I've listened to some of your podcasts, and it sounds absolutely wonderful. You do a lot of great work. It's exciting to be here.
I appreciate that, and I'm a reader of your blog myself, and I was excited to be able to get you on here. Well, I guess to get started, why don't we talk about the challenges that community administrators face in protecting their content and efforts as you see them?
Yes, in my view, there are three different areas of potential problem, and we'll go over each one at a time. The first deals with the copyright relationship between the administrator and their members, be it a forum or a complete community site. The second has to do with the relationship between that content and the outside internet, namely scrapers and plagiarists and other people stealing the content from the forum and posting it elsewhere. And the third relationship is sort of the inverse of the second, has to do with people who come to the site taking content from other sources illegally and violating copyright that way. And all three are major problems for community administrators, and the balance between all three depends heavily upon the site itself. So you want to take them each one at a time and just go into it?
Sure, let's go ahead and do that. Let's start with the first one.
The first one is the relationship, the copyright relationship between the forum administrator, the owners, and the members. It's a tough relationship because it varies between site to site. However, in most cases, the administrator does not hold the copyright over the work that's posted there. Copyright transfers immediately to the creator of the work once it's fixated to a permanent medium. It does not necessarily go to the owner of the site. Now, most terms of use, if you use a default like PHP, BB, or any default services, the default terms of use that comes with such a service grants republishing rights, which is very good. You want that and you need that to be able to continually use the work. The big fear is that, you're going to have a big board fight, and one of the members is going to want to take their marbles and run, so to speak.
Right.
And you don't want this person to come to you and say, I have the copyright on all my work. I post it on there. I want it gone by noon tomorrow. Because if you don't have republishing rights and you don't have a click wrap or some kind of licensing that guarantees those rights perpetually, they could legally do that in most cases. And, I mean, there is an implied license with posting a work on a forum, but you also have to worry about what happens if you're starting out your forum, it's non-profit, but you decide, oh, I need to generate some revenue from this, it's eating up too much money, so you add Google AdSense or another ad source. And next thing you know, the context with which the work is being used has changed from commercial to non-commercial. You can make some major changes which would nullify that implied license. So having some kind of perpetual republishing right for the work is great. However, you're going to find that that right is not exclusive. If I post a short story or an article on your forum or your community, I'm completely right to go and take that work and post it on another site.
Right.
And what that means is that if there is an illegitimate use, like if someone takes the work from your forum and posts it on their site, you're understandably upset about that, but the person that has to say no, you can't do that, is the person that created the work. Now, I'm pretty sure they're going to be equally upset, so it's not as if this is a tremendous problem. But generally speaking, the administrator can't put their foot down and stop illegal use of any content other than what they post. And that's just because they do not have that exclusive right to republish. So that's the first issue, and that comes up a lot in the second part.
Well, hold on. Let's say, just to come in there and ask you a quick question, let's say that you're an administrator for, a number of years, you're working on your community, and it grows to a certain size, 500,000 posts, however many, and you get maybe a disgruntled staff member, maybe just your garden variety thief, runs a bot and gets it all, really, and kind of rips the whole community that you've really spent a lot of time on. With seemingly thousands of individual copyright holders, it's not really feasible to assemble them all. So what do you do? What can you do?
In that situation, if it's an automated bot, you're kind of in luck. Because if they were stupid enough to use an automated script, well, that would be smart, because that's how you're only going to craft 500,000 posts.
Yeah, right.
But you're kind of in luck. The scraping is what that's called. It's an act of scraping. It comes with a whole other set of legal problems. Copyright is not really the biggest concern with scraping. It is a concern, obviously, because you're creating an unauthorized copy.
Right.
However, scraping violates several other potential problems. Main thing is you're going to learn it's a form of trespass, basically. If you have in your terms of use, when they sign up for it, you can incorporate code that makes automated scraping of content illegal. It says this is a violation of the terms. Not only at that point does it become a violation of the contract, but it's also a violation, it's also basically a form of trespass. Because you allow, because a server is like any other personal property you have.
Right.
You allow certain use. I can allow people to come on my front yard, but not in my house. It's a form of trespass. Trespass of shadows is the technical term for it. And I'm pretty sure I'm pronouncing that last part completely wrong. I apologize for it.
Okay, I don't have any idea. It's
C-H-A-T-T-L-E-S.
Okay.
Is the term. It's a law. In fact, the most recent case that this came up in that I found in my records, my searching, was American Airlines, one of those lowest fare sites,
right,
was scraping their airfares, scraping American Airlines airfares. And American Airlines said, you can't do that. We don't want you to do that. But the airfares are completely non-copyrightable. It's just data. It does not have any artistic creativity.
Right.
Though some might argue a great deal of creativity goes right into producing those airfares sometimes. But the point is, it was just data, so it was not copyright. It was not protected by copyright. Well, American Airlines won the case hands down, and the site was forced to stop scraping at least their fares due to this trespass of shadows. So that's one thing. You can go after them on that grounds.
With that ground, scraping, is that's not really something that a host is going to get involved with, right? That's something you'll have to get counsel and go after them in that light?
Definitely that'd be the easiest, that'd be the most effective way. But if you want to go after them on a copyright ground, and that would be a way to get around having to get counsel and go through all the hoops, that would be ugly and expensive.
Right.
What I would do in these cases, it's one thing people don't realize is you don't have to get all 1,000 people together. You only have to get one or two. If one or two people disapprove of it, because when they make that copy, they have to get the approval of every single person they copy. See, really, the burden is on them. Since you, they've given the implied license for you, and they've signed the terms of use, they've given the license to you. For them to produce that copy, they have to go and get the approval of all, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 members, whatever.
Right.
They have to do that. The burden and the onus is on them to get that approval. If they don't have it, it only takes one or two to kick or scream and say, no, I don't approve of your use. They can file DMCA notices with the host. In fact, if you can get them to give you the okay as the administrator, you can do it on their behalf. You can become what's called a designated agent acting on their behalf. That does happen a lot, and that's something that I've done a couple times for people that really aren't comfortable with the process.
Right. Yeah,
just get them to give you the okay, and you can go through the motion on their behalf.
That's a great point, where you can't do it yourself. You can then get, let's say, 5 to 6
yeah.
of your biggest posters that are
yeah.
friendly with the community together, and I'll co-sign a notice and send it off.
Exactly. Have them sign off on it, and you can do it on their behalf. Or you could even sign it yourself and just say, I am a designated agent acting on their behalf. That's something that's in the DMCA. It was designed primarily to allow a lawyer or a representative of, like, a publishing firm to
right.
do it. But you can always, there's nothing in the law that says you can't just give that power, that authority to anyone in this one case.
Right.
And that
okay.
way, that enables you to get, like you said, 5 or 6 of your best posters to go after them. And if you, the whole point there is if you get enough, just 1 or 2 really is enough to get a site pretty much shut down. Because once it's obvious, because most hosts, what's going to happen is you're going to file your DMCA notice. The host is going to go, wait a minute, they just scraped the whole thing.
Yeah.
This whole site is a massive copyright infringement. If we don't take the site down for this, we're just going to get hit with another one and another one and another one. I mean, they see the future pretty quickly, and most hosts don't tolerate that stuff. So once you make it clear what's happening, the site pretty much goes down.
It's as long as it's really, in the U.S., I guess.
Yeah, well, it's not even that simple anymore. Other countries have started creating DMCA-like laws. Australia has one. I know the European Union has one, so all of Europe is covered. In fact, European Union, you don't even need to be the copyright holder to file the claim. If the infringing site is hosted in the EU, you don't even have to be the copyright holder. You just file a notice as a concerned citizen, and it can be taken down that way.
That's interesting.
You don't have to be any way related to the work. It's created a few problems over there because it's so easy, but it's the way
in the end,
that's
it's a violation, it's a violation, right?
Yeah, it is a violation.
We have to take a break, but we'll be back with Jonathan Bailey of Plagiarism Today in just a moment.
Are you looking for a podcast that's on the cutting edge of what's new and exciting on the internet? A podcast for users about the things that matter to them? The Global Geek Podcast is this and more. A podcast about the latest technology news, reviews and interviews, applications and programs to make life easier, sites and services that are useful, fun, productive or just plain interesting. Not forgetting the Get Chicken segment. Presented by two hosts on opposite sides of the globe. We really are the Global Geek Podcast. Find us at www.globalgeekpodcast.com on the podcast network. Two hemispheres, two geeks, one podcast.
And we're back. So I guess we've covered that first part pretty well.
Yeah,
so what's
the second part
round you're talking about?
We delved into it somewhat there with the first part.
Okay.
Was the element of what happens after the work is taken. Like I said, as not being a copyright holder, you can't go in by yourself. You can't
right.
just lunge in and do it without at least consulting. But you can easily, it's pretty trivial on a forum environment or a community environment to get permission. I mean, you're tight with your top posters. If it's happened and if it's someone you know and if it's someone you got easy access to, getting permission to go in and stop, it's very, very simple. And the main thing you've got to do, there's several approaches you can take. The first is, and you can actually do this without even getting permission if you need to, is you can send a cease and desist letter. And this is also valid to do if you find out they're automatically scraping. the content we were talking about previously. If they're scraping the content, you can send a cease and desist letter, stop scraping our content, do it again, and, you know, bad thing, we're going to consider legal action, bad things will happen to you, we'll break your kneecaps. I mean, I'm just kidding, don't do that last one. That would be illegal, but you get the idea.
Right.
You can say bad things will happen, we will take further action if you don't. And a lot of times that is enough. People tend to not want to get involved in legal problems, especially when they know they're in the wrong. So just simply letting them know that you're on to them and that if they don't stop, there's going to be trouble. Something else will happen is oftentimes enough.
Even if you don't have the actual foundation to back it up.
I mean, you don't want to do it when it's toothless, because it could in some cases be considered
harassment. They'll call you on it, right.
But usually, if you say, you know, we notice you've been copying from our forms, this has to stop, and go ahead and get, you know, like I said, go ahead and contact your members, have them back you up on it, just let them know what's going on and get their support.
And right.
It's not toothless at all. I mean, you're just letting them know this what's going on, even if you're not the copyright holder. Just the fact you have the copyright holders backing you up is more than enough, usually.
Cool.
You want to make sure you have the support of the people who actually own the work, the first step is usually to send a cease and desist letter. The second step, something we touched on briefly previously, was a DMCA notice post. DMCA notice is very difficult to do initially. The first time you do it, it's usually intimidating. But there are several great DMCA notice templates out there. And the hardest part about sending a DMCA notice really now is trying to find who to send it to. If you're skilled at tracking down who the host is, it's pretty trivial to do. You can use your Whois tools, your Traceroute tools, and so forth. Your basic networking tools can usually find it.
Right.
Find out who the host is, and usually just visit the host site, and they will have information on how to contact them with a DMCA complaint. Most do it that way now, which is perfectly fine by me and most others. It seems to keep the information more up to date. There's supposed to be a giant repository of this information on the U.S. copyright website, copyright.gov, but that information oftentimes slips out of date, and
right.
It's not as good as it was. I mean, for example,
there's not enough tax money at it.
Yeah. Basically, I mean, even MySpace has their information out of date on the USCO's website, so
right.
I don't consider it the bastion of information that once was actually supposed to be. That will work in the event that it's in a host, and that it's hosted rather in a country that either observes the DMCA, which would be the United States, or has a DMCA-like log. The EU, Australia, New Zealand, I believe, has one. Don't hold me to that one.
Okay.
And Canada is working on a law which is very similar to it, too. I don't know if it's passed yet or not. I know they passed something previously, but they're looking to strengthen it. So, but any country that has a DMCA-like law will follow through on it. And you'll find most of about 95-98% of the hosts you bump into are going to follow such laws.
Right.
Most hosts are in the United States anyways. I mean, and the funny thing is, even if a host is operated in China, say, which is, of course, a very bad country for this to happen, and as long as the servers are located in the United States, which is something you find out pretty quick,
right.
Trace where things are, a Chinese hosting company just rents their servers in the United States, well, they have to obey American law because of where the servers are located.
Right.
Because most people wind up, because of where the backbone connections are, just hosting somewhere in the U.S. or Canada. So, it's just the way it seems to work.
For the better. For the better.
Yeah, it's for the better in this case.
Right.
I mean, the DMCA has been prone to abuses in the past, and that does concern me to some degree, but for most small administrators and webmasters that can't afford legal action over every copyright incident, it's pretty much the only recourse we have. So it
does more harm than
good. Because,
It does more good than harm, I mean.
It does more harm than good for us, definitely. But, and the final step after that would be to seek legal action against them for both the trespass issues and all the other potential violations that come up from it. I mean, scraping is a legal minefield. You do it at your own risk, really. It's something that can get you in a ton of trouble in a variety of different ways. But
what sort of
What sort of backup should people prepare for scraping? Just the raw access logs of them actually accessing the content?
Yeah, access logs are probably your best bet. To touch back on the scraping issue real fast, something I've noticed and something that kind of worries me on this, as I know most bulletin board installs now, like PHPBB does it, and I'm not sure about others, they produce RSS feeds.
PHPBB doesn't do it yet, but I know what you're talking about.
Okay, I thought they did. I thought it came.
No, there's a hack for that, but it's not standard yet.
Okay, I thought it was. Well,
that's my area.
I wasn't exactly using the standard install. What would I know?
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's all right. But anyways, yeah, if you have RSS feeds with a form, that is a major source of scraping right now. I'm not exactly sure what role RSS feeds play in a bulletin board or a forum community, because the whole idea of a community is to create interaction.
Right. Mainly, it's mainly as an issue of convenience. I think people can throw it in their feed reader and get the post that way in their own kind of environment.
Yeah. The counter to that, though, is it makes it very easy to scrape posts. And, I mean, I'm not saying don't use them. I mean, certainly I have a blog. I use RSS feeds, and I love them, but I guess
it's
just be aware of the potential hazards that come with that and be smart about it. I mean, there are ways to, obviously, to check for content, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a minute, too. But we'll move on to the third area, the third problem right now, which puts it in the inverse, is what happens when one of your users violates copyright law via, you know, using your form. And it used to be, this isn't such a big problem anymore, it used to be forums were one of the biggest places to do this. Because plagiarists and copyright infringers, being the lazy sort they are, take the path of least resistance. And before blogging really took off, forums were the one-click publishing tool.
Right.
It was the only way to conveniently get a lot of text on the web without having to do web development and so forth. And it came with a built-in audience, which was kind of cool, too. But, I mean, A, it's very hard to get away with it in a forum community because people do read and they do tend to notice these things. And you've seen this, there still goes on a fair amount in fan fiction forums, fan fiction communities, and literature communities in general still have a tremendous problem with this. But the main thing I tell administrators when I talk to them is have a clear policy on it. Make sure it's known in your forum rules. Make it clear. And have a clear means for people who are outside of the forum to contact you about it.
Right.
That's one of the things that kind of irks a lot of copyright holders is they go to a forum, they find out they're being plagiarized there, and they go to contact an admin, and they have to either register for an account to get the email address, or they have to jump through hoops.
Right.
And that puts the forum in jeopardy. Now, I want to offer a word of warning here, because this happened once. There was a site I dealt with. One of the members plagiarized my content. One. There was about 200 member. It wasn't a very, very large forum, but it was fairly big. This one user took my content. I contacted the admins. I signed up for the site, contacted the admins. The admins were not responsive. The only course of action I had at that point was to send a DMCA notice to the host. I sent the DMCA notice. The entire site with all 200 members got put down. Everything. It got wiped off the face of the earth pretty much. And it really broke my heart because there were a lot of good, obviously you have 200 plus members.
And one idiot screwed it up, really.
Yeah, one idiot screws it up for everyone, and
right.
I did not want it to happen that way, but I had to do what I had to do.
Right.
If the administrator had been responsive to me, and what's going to happen, what you're going to find is a lot of people aren't going to go through the steps that I go through. I mean, I went ahead and signed up for the site and made my attempt to contact the admin. A lot of people aren't going to do that. They're just going to see that it's not easy. And they could handle it quicker by just following the DMCA notice, and that has unpredictable consequences for the rest of the site. So you want to be available. So this way you can handle matters. Because, I mean, most message board and forum tools provide you great ways to handle these. I mean, it's easy to ban people, block, delete posts, delete replies. It's very easy to handle them. But, you just have to make sure people can contact you. Yeah, you just got to make sure they can contact you. And your host doesn't have access to those tools. They basically have a giant on-off switch, kills the site, leaves it up, and you don't want them to flip that switch.
Exactly.
So be available. Be the path of least resistance. That's the main thing I tell people is be there and try to help people that deal with these matters. And, I mean, research, use your head. Don't just give in to every copyright claim. Some people do file false ones. It's very rare, but it does happen. But be the path of least resistance. Let them, make them want to contact you first. Making them be more responsive, be easier to get a hold of, and you'll find that you run into a lot less trouble that way. That's one thing. There's a lot of people out there that are not as nice as I am, but I've talked to them. I disagree with these people. I disagree with them, but they are out there, and I've seen a lot of good sites go down because of their actions, and I don't want to see it happen to anyone listening to this podcast.
That's good advice. On that same kind of token there, what should administrators kind of do to try to minimize those sorts of behavior, whether it be content theft or even hot linking or that sort of thing?
Well, the first thing, obviously, is to make it clear it's not acceptable. That's definitely something you've got to do. And the second thing is to deal with these issues in a severe way, to deal with them directly and quickly. I mean, hot linking is pretty simple. You can usually look at posts and tell if something's being hot linked when it shouldn't be.
Sometimes it can be pretty challenging when you have obviously a lot of posts and people are quoting the images,
yeah.
And some of them use Image Jack, let's say, some of them don't, and those are the ones you want to find, but it's easier said than done sometimes.
I agree. It's easy to let especially some of the image hot linking go under the radar, but then again, as you just pointed out, a lot of sites encourage and allow image hot linking, so it's impossible to know who's allowing and who's not. Like I said, make it unacceptable. Provide alternatives. That's one of the things that's really strange, is encourage people to use sites that allow hot linking, for example. I mean, the YouTubes, the photo buckets, and so forth. Direct them there. Make that a resource. And direct them to stock photography. I mean, like, the most common place I've seen copyright infringement, at least in the technical sense, has been the avatars on a lot of these sites. So direct people to sites with free avatars that they can use. Make sure that they have access to tools that are legal and will work for them in these cases. As far as preventing copyright infringement and so forth, the main thing to do is, like I said, if it comes up, deal with it harshly. And by harsh, I don't necessarily mean banning them and condemning them to the fires of Hades or anything.
All right, I understand.
I'm just talking about deleting the post. Don't allow it to continue. Have a policy in place and make sure that it's a known policy and make sure that people know what's going on, because you find in these community environments people don't like people who infringe copyright or plagiarize. I mean, because communities are built on honesty and trust.
No, we'd like to. We'd like to think so.
You'd like to think so. It's theoretically true.
Most people are good people, but then you get the minority that...
Yeah.
Does those things and kind of makes noise.
And you'll find that the members tend to be a very good way of working that out, because most of the cases I have found in my experience where a community was involved in a plagiarism of my work, I did not discover it myself. I was alerted to it by a member of the community. And I think that's one of the things is, you know, tap that membership. Let them help you out. If you see anything suspicious, encourage people to report things.
Right.
Have the little report button on post. I know a lot of installs do that by default. And, I mean, I'm not saying you have to make everyone a moderator. That'd be a bit inefficient.
Yeah.
But give people that power to let you know. And I think you'll find people... I'm amazed by the memory some people have. It blew my mind. One girl remembered a poem from my site that she had visited 2 years before and then read it again on a forum and go, wait a minute. And it's like, you can do something 2 years later? I can't even remember where my keys are today.
Well, actually, thinking about it, inside of writing communities and communities with authors and content creators, I think probably the level of respect is higher than it will be on, say, a sports community.
The counterpoint, though, is you'll find that writing communities and authorship communities also have the highest incidence of this type of stuff. These types of problems, because if it's just general talk back and forth or discussion about a football team, say, there's right. not that much need to plagiarize.
And so they copy and paste the whole article from ESPN.
Yeah, well, and that's the other thing. They still do that, but the problem there is it's pretty easy to detect. Usually fellow members of the forum can go, wait a minute. When did you start writing like a professional journalist?
Yeah, no, it's definitely something that I know I personally and my staff, we personally keep an eye out for anything that appears suspicious, like a couple of poster with that posts a few words usually suddenly gets an entire vocabulary. And it really Googles is one of the best tools that I use. I Google Google text from the article, boom, I got, you know, it's all set. I remove the post and take care of it.
Yeah, exactly. And that, I guess that's a nice segue into the tools to detect this type of thing. And these two, one thing that's interesting is you talk about Google. Google is the gold standard in this. I mean, taking, you know, what I call a statistically improbable phrase, an SIP, and punching it into Google and finding matches that way is, of course, one of the best ways, especially in longer works. You can also use Copyscape, copyscape.com.
Okay.
And that's great for, that's a great tool to use if you think somebody might have taken portions, because what it does is it matches an entire work against the web, and it looks for matches and sentences and paragraphs, and it's really an efficient tool. But the free version is very limited, but there are paid versions if you're interested, but they can get kind of pricey. But the free version is a great way. If you have a suspicious article or something you're sketchy about, it's a great way to check it against the web and see if it exists elsewhere, even in part. That's
right.
A great tool to use. And right now, one thing that's coming up, there's a lot of new tools. There's a lot of new companies coming into this market. BlogWorks is releasing their Sentinel product soon, which will take any RSS feed and compare it against the entire web. It'll do matching like that. And let's see. And, of course, there's all kinds of content matching companies out there that will do it for a price. They sprung up shortly after the publishing houses and the record industries and the movie studios began to have their copyright issues on the web.
So those tools sound like, at least the pay ones, sound like something that would be more useful from the perspective of the author rather than from the administrator.
Anything that can detect copies can work both ways. This is one of the interesting things. Everything is a double-edged sword. That's
right.
One of the things, but you are right. I mean, Copyscape, for example, is definitely more useful for the author, but if you find the work that you're suspicious about.
Right. Punch it in the free one. It's just hard to see an administrator paying, I think a 5 cents
no,
a search or something, or whatever it is,
it.
I don't know. But
the administrator will not pay. That's ridiculous. Especially in a large community, it'd be insanely expensive. But there are new tools coming out. I expect, with BlogWorks releasing and their launch date will be January 30th. And with all these forums having RSS feeds, it might work well with BlogWorks.
Right, for administrators that need to protect their content.
Yeah, I mean, it might work in reverse. You might be able to use the RSS feeds to protect your content. It could be kind of turning it on its head. But like I said, Google is still the gold standard right now. But it is inefficient to do that with every single post, obviously.
Right.
And so you have to kind of, you know, pick your battle some. But I would encourage, one thing I would do is I would encourage, if you're on, especially on an authorship forum or photography forum, or anything like that, encourage the members to patrol their own content. Offer them the ability to, you know, encourage them to go out there and take a look and see what use of their work is going on. I mean, some of them might be surprised. I had a good friend when I was modding for a community several years ago, and I had just discovered how my work was being plagiarized.
What a discovery.
it was a heck of a couple days there. I mean, it was being plagiarized hundreds of times. But I had developed my search techniques, and I was working on it, and I remember my friend from this forum was I consider to be a very good writer and very good poet. So I said, well, you know, I'm going to see if his work has been taken at all. And I thought I literally thought no way, because his work is on a pretty obscure community in an obscure section of an obscure forum, you know. I thought, no way. Well, sure enough, I found two matches almost immediately. So it was pretty weird. I mean, encourage members to look, even if they don't think that it's likely or possible. Just give it a try. I mean, it never hurts just to take a quick peek and see what's going on. If it's nothing, to sleep better at night. It's something you know and you can take action against it.
Right. We've talked a little bit about policies and terms of service. Just how important are those in protecting your content and being able to act on violations?
Well, the terms of use and so forth are definitely important in cases of scraping. If you include, you know, no automated scraping in your terms of use, and I'm not sure where most of the default terms of use sit on this issue, but if you include that, that gives you a lot more power to stop, you know, unwanted bots from visiting your site. And, I mean, legally, it's still a situation where you might have to sue someone, but if you did have to, it would give you a lot more leverage. It would be something, it'd be a whole other front to open up on that. But, in terms of use, it's very important, especially when dealing with your members, to have a clear-cut relationship between what they're posting and how you're going to use it. You know, you sort of set down general guidelines of, I promise to use this only for certain means. You know, make it clear that you're not going to put it onto a book and sell it for $1 million to a publishing house. Yeah, like that's ever happened. But make it clear that you're not trying to make a fortune off their money, off their work. But at the same time, let them know that, yes, there might be ads, and yes, you know, the site's going to change and evolve. I'm just saying, you have to find a way to make it clear to them in those terms of use. And I'm assuming, of course, somebody actually reads these, which is a tremendous assumption. I mean, I'm a legal eagle, and I rarely read them anymore. I get put to sleep right around part 5 or 6. But they're very difficult to read, and I think they're written that way intentionally, to be honest. But the point being, they are important because it cuts out that relationship and it prevents the users from getting disgruntled and just simply trying to grab their marbles and go home and pull it and really put you in a bind. You have that relationship clear cut. It gives you backup. And in the event of content theft, it's not entirely useful because, like I said, unless in your terms of use, you give yourself the exclusive right to republish, which I have no doubt would anger many users.
The ones that read it anyway. The ones that read it anyway.
Yeah, the ones that actually read it. I'm sure once someone read it, then they would let everyone else know. Which is how it happens at Microsoft. It amazes me how every time Microsoft changes their licensing, 3 million people click without reading, and then one person goes, wait a minute. What's the sell your soul clause?
Well,
that's Microsoft for you. But now the point is, though, one thing you could do if you wanted is write in the ability for you to act as a DMCA agent in the event that their content is lifted from that form without permission. And, of course, it would have to be without their permission. That way you could just go ahead and have that in case you need it. I don't think anyone wants to take exclusive rights from these posters. I mean, they want to be able to participate in multiple communities and run their own sites, obviously. I mean, but a term of use is a great thing. You need to have it. You need to have it written well, and you need to make sure you outline the relationship between postee and poster so that way it's completely clear what is and is not acceptable in terms of copyrights. That way it prevents headaches, basically.
Right, right. Makes your job easier.
Yeah, and it's always nice in the event of a dispute to be able to go, no, you got to check paragraph 3, line 2.
Section B.
that's much easier than, yeah, well, I said so.
Yeah, exactly. We talked a bit about RSS feeds. What should communities with RSS feeds do to those RSS feeds to try to minimize the danger that they represent to the community as a whole?
Well, the first step you can take is truncate them, which basically turn them into a summary-only feed. I don't encourage that too much with blogs because of the nature of the way blogs are read, but with a forum where you're trying to encourage interaction, it doesn't make sense to have full feeds anyway, at least in my opinion. I'm not going to tell anyone how to run their site.
Right.
But the point is, if you truncate the feed so that it's short, it becomes a less appealing target to scrape. There's less content to lift, and most people will simply just pass it over. And that way it can also function if people are just wanting like a little alert for whenever a new post comes up or something like that. They can still have that, but they have to visit the site to read the full post is the only
right.
catch. That's one thing. The other thing you can do is you can always, if you want, you can use FeedBurner to burn your feed. It's feedburner.com. It's a great little site, and they have a tool on there called Uncommon Uses, which is used to detect any and all, how do I word this carefully, uses of your feed that do not fit the standard use. Not, meaning not from known feed readers or web browsers, anything like that.
Normal feed readers, in other words.
Yeah, anything that's not normal, and FeedBurner runs hundreds of thousands of feeds, they have a pretty good idea of what is normal.
Right.
And so Uncommon Uses is a great way to detect anyone that might be potentially scraping feed, and it'll point you right to the URL. That's a good step to take. And also, in these programs, you can add, you can usually manipulate the feed template slightly. One thing that you can do is something that's called a digital fingerprint, where you type in, in my case, I used a string of semi-random letters and numbers, for example. Something that's really bizarre that does not appear anywhere else on the web. And rather than having to search for all the content in the feed, you just search for that one word, and anywhere it appears on the web, you know it's a copy from your site.
And a little quick and dirty way to do it.
It is, if, for WordPress users, and I know that doesn't help the community forum, there's a it's a plugin that does it. But anytime you can edit an RSS template, it's pretty simple to do it. Just add it in at the very foot of every post.
It is. Well, we've talked about primarily what to do to protect your content. What shouldn't administrators do to protect their content? What shouldn't they do? What could they do that would be dangerous to the community?
Oh, there's a lot of stuff that fits under that.
How about the biggest issues and the most popular ones?
Well, okay. The main thing you do not want to do, and this is something I see over and over and over again, not just on community sites, but I see it on a lot of personal websites and blogs, you don't want to use any fancy scripts or JavaScript trickery or anything like that. And, I mean, I'll lump a lot of stuff under there. I'll lump no right-click script, which I'm pretty sure annoys you as much as it does me.
Right, it does. I mean, the fact is, anyone who really wants to get your content, it's not going to be stopped by a right-click script. I mean, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, anyone that can turn off JavaScript is going to be able to get past all that, and that's pretty trivial. Definitely do not do that. Like, that annoys users. Second thing is, you don't want to try to put it in any strange format. You don't want to do anything that might make the work less accessible in any way, shape, or form. JavaScript trickery is a form of that, but I'm talking more about putting it in weird formats like PDF files and so forth. You want your work to be easily found, easily accessible, and easily searched by Google and other search engines. And that brings me to three, which is one of the worst ideas I've seen in content protection history, which is the idea of putting text in an image. I remember everyone was doing that for navigation and so forth back in Web 1.0, and it was a hideous idea then, and it's a hideous idea now. It's a great way to hide, like, your email address, but some people have gone so far as to put entire essays and stories and poems in an image using, like, high-text tools and so forth, and it's just a tremendous headache for everyone, and it kills your Google ranking, which brings me to the third one. Turns into another thing you don't want to do, and that is install extra security. You want to make sure that your pages are visible on the web to Google and to other bots. If these things have to log into the site to access the content, which is something a lot of people have been doing on their forums and communities, and in some cases it's worked well, but you don't want to make it so that people have to log in just to read. I mean, A, that frustrates copyright holders. Because in the event that there is plagiarism or something going on, they might find out about it but be unable to access it and follow up on it. And besides, it kills your Google ranking, it hurts the community, and it makes it very difficult to attract new members, I'd imagine.
Right.
I've never run a private
You'll notice that, coincidentally, a lot of music communities have all their forums as private.
Yeah, and I really disagree with doing that. I think setting all your forums to private is... It's a search engine suicide, first and foremost.
Right. And so it makes you look like a thief, right?
Yeah, it makes you look like you're doing something you shouldn't be doing, and it really does. It makes it look very suspicious.
We've covered a lot today, and there's a lot of really great advice and a lot of great tips that you've passed on, and I appreciate it, and I appreciate you coming on.
It's been a great pleasure.
Once again, that was Jonathan Bailey of Plagiarism Today at plagiarismtoday.com. And with that, the final episode of the Community Admin Show on the podcast network is wrapped up. If you'd like to talk about community management with other community administrators, please check out communityadmins.com. That's communityadmins.com. The website for the Community Admin Show can be found at communityadminshow.com. This is Patrick O'Keefe. It's been fun, and I thank you for listening.
Hey everybody, it's Scott and Michael
from the Digital Photography Show,
where every week we feature great tips and tricks for improving your photos
and give away great prizes.
And we have wonderful interviews with photographers and writers
and great giveaways.
And we also tell you how to get the most ever out of your equipment and what new stuff is coming out on the horizon.
And more things for free.
Okay, Michael, there's more to the show than the fact that we just give away a lot of free prizes.
There is.
Well, maybe you should listen at thedigitalphotographyshow.com.